As long as we're walking with Him, amen, there's no foe that can defeat us, amen. And that's how we have fellowship one with another, when we have fellowship with Him, amen, amen. And there's nothing like it. There's no tie on earth that binds like that tie binds, amen. So it's good to be with you this morning. Thank you, musicians, and just it's good to be in church this morning, amen. Brother Baker was out this week as he was not feeling well, but he's feeling better now. But I decided to take a little break. So, amen. Just pray that the Lord would grant him some rest and relaxation. Amen. And he's mentioned it a few times, but I do just want to reiterate that we need to be praying for him. Just. He has issues with his eyes, and he's scheduled to possibly do a pretty, to me it sounds like a very risky procedure, but of course the best thing would be just the Lord to heal him, and we begin to see some of that restoration process take place. But just remember him in your prayers, amen. He needs those eyes, and we need him to have those eyes. Amen. So just remember that, I pray, and amen. All right. Well, this morning, if you have your Bible, I'd like to take a little simple subject here this morning, the greatness of our God. Amen. And just, sometimes... Sometimes you think about all the different things in the scripture that we could talk about, or that we could, the things, the great mysteries and the message and things that we could really dig into, and then you kind of come back to, I just feel like bragging about him. I just feel like talking about how good he is. Amen. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. And this is part of this, I guess they would call this the Song of Moses, and this is Moses his last admonishment, and it's like a song of praise, worship, and exhortation to the children of Israel. But I just saw this and I said, this is like, put yourself here, right? This is me. Where he says I, and he's speaking, for himself, he's speaking for me too. I want to put myself there and say I. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Amen. Amen. How many want to be remembered in prayer this morning? Just as we go to the Lord, lift your hand to him. Father, you see the hands throughout the building this morning, Lord, and every hand, Lord, represents a need in your body, Lord, and we know that none of this is a surprise to you, Lord. You know all things, Lord. You even know the depths of our heart, Lord, when we don't even understand our own hearts. But Lord, you know that need, and you know how to meet that need. So we just lift them up to you this morning by faith, Lord. Knowing your goodness and knowing your desire to move on behalf of your people. Lord, knowing the victory that you've purchased for us already at Calvary, and that we are great recipients, Lord, of this great victory. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come this morning. Lord, to hear your word, Lord, being preached and hear your praises, Lord, to be part of the worship of the saints, to be part of the ministry of the word. And Father, I pray that you would just move on your word, Lord, as it goes forth. Bring it to life, Lord, out of the letters of this Bible this morning, Lord, and make it live in our hearts, I pray. Make it real to us, Lord, and may you, Lord, be more real to us than ever before. Amen. Lord, we love you and thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Amen. I just love this scripture. He says, "For I will proclaim," and if I could expand on that scripture as it is written in the Amplified, he says, "I will proclaim the name and the presence of the Lord." Not just proclaim the name, but I will proclaim the presence of the Lord. I will ascribe greatness and honor to our God. Amen. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. He is a God of faithfulness without injustice. He is just and upright. How wonderful. Amen. Not only is the word, these words of God, but the character of the one it's speaking of. How precious to us when we say, "I will," and he is our God. Amen. We can count on it. Amen. We can count on him. So let's take this verse where he says, "I will proclaim the name and the presence." And in so doing, proclaim the name. I will make others see his greatness. Amen. Amen? Because that's what he's saying. He says, "I will proclaim this, but you that I'm speaking to, you ascribe greatness to him." Through my life and through my testimony, through me lifting the name of Jesus, living the name of Jesus, may you say, "That's a great God." Amen. Amen. A messenger does not proclaim his own message. Is that right? He doesn't convey his own thinking. They're a messenger. They're sent to proclaim the thoughts or the message of the one that's sending them. Amen. To take the mind of the one who's doing the sending and convey that. It's not their own thinking. Amen. But they are faithfully carrying that message. I know that in times of war, men have devised all kinds of different ways. And how many knows that we're in a war this morning? But in war, it's a time of confusion. They call it the fog of war. Amen? And that's one of the characteristics of the battle that we are in this age. There's a fog that hangs over the land. Amen? That hangs over the people. And it's a fog of battle. And in the fog of war, if you're not careful, you could be attacking your own troops. In fact, I think I don't remember if it was the first Gulf War or the second Gulf War, but in one of them, there was a period of time where we had more casualties from our own friendly fire than from the enemy, because we were so effective with our weapons. If we targeted something, we were going to kill it, right? But you have to be careful about what you target. And so the fog of war could obscure and we find ourselves shooting at one another rather than at the enemy. But one of the ways that men found to combat this was communication. Amen. They would try, and they had messengers, and in World War I they used homing pigeons. They used the little pigeons, you know. They would train them so that they would have a home roost, a place where they called home, right? A coop or whatever you call it, right? And then they would take them out of that, and wherever they would take them, just about anywhere in the world almost, they could let them go, and they would fly back to that home base. So they learned this, and they figured out that they could attach little messages to their legs, amen, and they could send a message back. And so they would do this. And these little homing pigeons were faithful messengers. Now you can't tell me that those pigeons knew anything about what the message was. Right? They didn't know, hey, this is orders from the general. Hey guys, I'm here with a message for you. Nope. They just, here I am. Right? They just showed up. They went from one place to another, and they carried the thought from the commander or the general, whoever was in charge, out to the troops. So much so that the French even awarded one of those little pigeons a medal for valiant service. You know, and think about that. That pigeon didn't know anything. And he got a medal for battle. Amen. Well, you know, brother, sister, we are carriers of this message. But thank God that we know a little bit more than a pigeon, right? But our thinking has to be his thinking. Amen. It's not our own thinking that's going to get there. And brother, sister, it's not going to be our strength or anything that we do that gets us that honor and reward in the end. But it will be him through us. Amen. It'll be him, his message, his thoughts, his plan being executed in our lives. So also in war, they would have men that were runners. They would just, you know, like in the trenches and things, they would run from one to the other. Or sometimes they would have to go across the great areas where the artillery was shooting. And it was actually one of the, just an extremely dangerous job to have. But it was essential because they had to have, they had to be in one mind and in one accord to fight that battle. Amen. So they would do that, and the runners would run, and they say, "I've got a message from the commander." And they'd say, "Well, what do you think?" "Well, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't. I'm not here to represent what I think the battle is going good or bad or whatever. I'm here to hand you a message from the commander." Amen. Now, brother, sister, you and I are messengers, and we are ambassadors. Is that right? Amen. Now, we know that there's only one church age messenger to each church age. We're not pretending to take that position by no means. But we are a proclaimer of the gospel. Amen. Amen. We are the ones that proclaim the name and the presence of Almighty God. And through that proclaiming and that demonstrating of the good news, that's the gospel. Amen? We show forth the greatness of God. Amen? We demonstrate the wonders, the greatness of the living God. Jesus said when he came to earth, he said, "I have come in my Father's name." Amen? And Brother Branham said that every son comes in his Father's name. He didn't come in his own name, but he came to proclaim the name of God. Amen? That's what we are supposed to do. Proclaim his name, not the name of a church or a preacher or a group. Amen? But to proclaim his name. We're not proclaiming Love Divine Fellowship. Amen? Although we appreciate that, that's a work that God has done to bring us together. But that's not our identification. We are proclaiming his name. Amen? And his greatness. Hallelujah. That name is greatness. He said, he warned us that others would come in their own name. And we see it, amen, in this age, greater than any other, where others come in their own name. They're out there on social media in their own name. They're out there making YouTube videos in their own name, trying to build their name. But I'm not interested in the name of any person. Amen. I want to come in his name. See, God said, this is the place where I will choose to place my name. Amen. He was Emmanuel. Amen? Christ the Word. God with us. The God in us and with us in the living Word. Amen. Brother Branham said that that is God's only provided place of worship. Spirit and in truth. Amen? Only in that name. By one Spirit. Amen. Amen. One Spirit are we baptized into one body. Amen. We were just singing about it. The family of God. Hallelujah. That body that we are baptized into is one family. One unit. Under one name. Amen. Under the greatness of that name. That means that body shares in the greatness of God.
Amen.
The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Amen.
Amen. It's a mighty building. The righteous run into it and they are saved. So that's what we proclaim. That's what we represent. That's what we lean on.
Right.
Hallelujah. The greatness of our God. Amen. So just as we get into this morning, the greatness of our God, that word greatness, because it could have different meanings, different ideas that people would have when they hear that, but it means markedly superior. Amen. Markedly superior. In other words, you know, it's far and above.
Yeah.
Right? Number two is not even close. The superiority is so much greater than the runner-up. It's not even worth mentioning. Markedly superior in character or quality. Amen. So we talk about the greatness of God. We're talking about His character. The quality of who He is. It's also remarkable in magnitude. So size. Right? He's enormous. Remarkable in magnitude in degree, size, magnitude, and effectiveness. Power, ability. Hallelujah. Notably large in size. So, how do people measure greatness? Amen? I want to put that question to you this morning. How do you measure greatness? If His name is first above all others, the Bible says that all others will bow to that name.
Amen?
Amen? That means that when you consider all the universe, His name is the greatest. The greatest. There's no one close. Amen? What about when we pray in that name? Amen? Do we even realize what we're doing, or do we just kind of tack it on at the end? In the name of Jesus, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? That name is the greatest in the universe. Brothers, sisters, spiritual beings with power beyond what we can even comprehend acknowledge that name. They bow to that name. Amen. Dominion, rulership. The greatest in the universe. That was the name by which everything that is was created. Yet some of those creatures, part of creation, can't even acknowledge that name. Instead, they breathe out that name as cursings.
Yes.
They use it in vain. They treat it as a dirty thing or a common thing. Oh God, may we never be guilty of that. Amen. Or they make fun of it. Amen. Or they drag it through the mud. Or worse yet, they fake obedience to it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Faking obedience to his name and to his word for their own gain, for their own benefit, to lift up themselves. My. But those of us proclaiming his name demonstrate the power.
Amen.
Amen. That is in that name. When we pray in Jesus' name, we show that he's the King. When demons move because of that name, because of that name spoken on our lips with reverence and understanding and faith and love, when we speak that name, we show the greatness of the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. That sickness that's come into your life is there so that you can proclaim the greatness of the name. That trial that you're going through, it's nothing compared to the greatness of the name. It's there so that you can speak to it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do we understand what it means to come in the name of Jesus Christ? To represent him. Amen. To the world, it just seems like a flippant thing. Oh, you're just a Christian. You're one of those Christians. Oh, brother, sister, think about what you've just been called.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You called me a Christian. Do you really mean it? Please tell me you mean it. It's the greatest compliment you could ever give me. Because Christian means like Christ. Oh, glory. I believe that's why Brother Branham preached that message, Why I Am a Holy Roller. I think he just wanted to poke at the devil a little bit. You call me that, you're paying me a compliment. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we do, in word and deed, we do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's amazing. We can put so much confidence in great men, right? And when I say we, I mean we as humans, you know, the human race, right? If somebody gave you a check that was $1 million and it was made out to you and it had the name Jeff Bezos on it. Everybody know who Jeff Bezos is? He's the founder of Amazon. I think he's currently the richest man in the world. It changes, right? They kind of shift positions. But if he's not, he's now top five. He's worth something like $170 billion or something. So if he wrote you a $1 million check with his name on it, don't you think he could probably be good for it? That's like pocket change for him. Although now he's going through a divorce, I understand, so he'll probably cut it right in the middle. So, you know, these things are not permanent. Amen. But just that name alone, his name on the check, man, that's good enough. I bet if you took it to the bank and they authenticated it, first they probably wouldn't believe you, right? But if they authenticated it and said, no, that's really his name, okay, whatever. He's good for it. Right? Why? Because he's considered a wealthy man, right? Not considered, he is. Right? Companies spend millions, billions of dollars on their name.
Yeah.
Hey man, they make commercials and they do marketing campaigns, and sometimes they'll give money to charities and they'll do commercials and marketing and stuff just for what they call name recognition.
Right?
And all it is so that when you hear the name of their company, you have a positive reaction. That's all they're going for.
Right?
Right? They don't even necessarily need you to go out and right away and buy their product, but it's all they want you to do is think positively of their company. Have a a positive reaction. In fact, sometimes you'll see I've run into them. I've been sent surveys before. Maybe you've been sent them before too. And the surveys actually list off like four or five different companies. And they say, which of these do you have a positive impression of? It's not like, did you buy something, but the name, right? Amazon, Google, Nike, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Doritos. Now I'm making you hungry. In-N-Out. No. Amen. Ford, Chevy, whatever, right? Just the name, if you have an experience with that company or that product, you have some sort of reaction. Right? If you say, oh, Chevy, well, I think about the old Chevy trucks that, you know, Grandpa used to have or whatever, or the Ford that I got or whatever. Right? Nike, I think about the basketball shoes that we used to wear when we were kids and everybody had to have a pair of Michael Jordans. Right? And so there's that memory and that goes along with it, and they spend millions of dollars just to build up the name. Because the power of a name brand. And so there's a reaction that goes with the name of Jesus Christ too. Amen? Some people, when they hear the name of Jesus Christ, they think Savior. Amen? Some think, you know, like crazy people. Right? Or some have a demon inside and they shake with fear. But there's a reaction to the name. So the Bible tells us that at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that right? So we know that means every being in the universe is going to acknowledge that name. The greatness of God. But what matters most is the reaction that we have here. Amen? When we hear that name, it evokes joy, peace, Savior. Amen? Bridegroom. Amen? We think of all these things: healing, power, deliverance, power over death, power over the grave, power over death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Authority over the enemy. When demons hear the name of Jesus Christ, they have a different reaction. Oh, sure, they recognize the power, but he's not Savior to them. Amen? But he's still King. King of the universe. Amen. Amen. So remember that scripture. It says that we ascribe to him greatness and honor. So I want to ask you this morning, have you ever stopped to think about how big he is? And this is what I wanted. This is just what was on my heart this morning. Amen. I hope that's okay. Amen. How big our God is. Brother Branham said, in The World is Falling Apart, he said, Einstein said, I was listening to a lecture of him here the other night in New York City, and he made one of his last lectures, and he was talking about a constellation, a little galaxy. It was out in the constellation, and he said, if a man started through space traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would take him 150 million light years to get there. He found eternity. Then said to come back, it would take him another 150 million years, which would be 300 million years. And the space that he was gone from the earth would only be 50 years. There you go. Broke into eternity. Oh my, the greatness of God when he made the whole solar system. Now, what he's speaking about here, and scientists still hold to this estimate, that the Milky Way galaxy that we are part of, they estimate is about 150 million light years across. Like, I can just, you know, stretch about that far, right? 150 million light years. So if light travels at this unfathomable speed, which we can't even still really even understand the speed of light, right? I mean, we're getting there, but like, to comprehend it, like the speed of light. At the speed of light, it takes 150 million years. I can't even comprehend a million years, right? I mean, 150 million years at the speed of light that we can't even comprehend how fast that is to get just across our galaxy. Now, Brother Branham says something really interesting here. He says he broke into eternity. And he's showing us again how big God is. Amen. Right? Because once you start getting to these numbers that are really just unfathomable, you start to come back and circle back around. Amen? And he said that someday they'll see that they're just looking back at themselves, right? Because we know eternity is unending. But I want you to just think about this for a moment, because I want you to think about how great your Savior is. Amen. Amen. Your Jesus, the Jesus that meets you in your prayer closet, the Jesus that speaks to your heart. Amen. The one that has come and whispered to you personally, Amen. You're my child and I love you. Amen. So that galaxy, 150 million light years, which is just an unfathomable distance. And that's one galaxy. And they don't even know how many galaxies there are. They guess, and this is really just a guess, that the observable universe, this is only the part that they can kind of have an idea is out there. They guess that the observable part, there's more that they can observe, but the observable part is about 93 billion light years across. So, you know, I mean, after a while, it's like the national debt, right? The numbers just don't mean anything. Right? I mean, it's true, right? You just, well, tack another zero on the end. And it, because it loses its meaning to us. Amen. But if you begin to think about the bigness of that creation, amen, how huge it is. And the Bible says that he created that with his word. And he had faith in his word. And his word laid the foundations for the planets and the universe and the galaxy. Brother Branham dramatized it, and he says he just blew off the sun off the palm of his hand, and then he stopped it, amen, for, oh, you know, a few million years, and spun off a little clinker, and that cooled and became the earth. Well, brother, sister, we're talking about billions of light years of space. Amen. And the greatness of our God, he is so big. He is so magnificent. Amen. Amen. That we just can't even, our finite thinking cannot even just grab a hold of it. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. How can we in our daily lives and when I say small, don't misunderstand me. I'll say the small things we go through. It's not that they aren't important. Not saying that at all. But we are small size-wise. Right? We're very little. All you have to do is get in an airplane to see that. I mean, you get in an airplane and look back down at the people, you get small really quick. And you're still in the atmosphere. Amen? Yeah, we're tiny when it comes to size, but we're huge when it comes to importance. But he says, look, call unto me. I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things. He knows about things, brother, sister, that we couldn't even begin to comprehend. Amen. Things he says, thou knowest not. He's got things lined up for your life that you couldn't have a concept or a clue about. Amen. The blessings and the provision that he's made in your life. I mean, if he can spin off 93 billion light years of stars and galaxies, don't you think he can take care of your life? Don't you think he can watch over you? Amen. Don't you think that he can take you from birth until your last day on earth and know every part and every bit of it? Amen. The other thing about all that space, think about all that vast space that's out there. Not only did he just spin it off, but he knows every crack and corner of that universe. He knows what's happening from the farthest star and asteroid all the way to the other side. Amen. He knows the very batting of an eye of a gnat here on earth. And he knows everything in that universe. Don't you think he can show you some things? Amen. Don't you think that maybe, just maybe, you might be able to trust him a little bit?
Yes.
Amen. Don't you think if he says, I'll take care of this for you and I'll handle it, don't you think that maybe he's just a little bit able to do that?
Yes.
Greatness of our God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Greatness. That's your Savior this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to just read you. This is a little bit of a lengthy section here out of the Church Age book, but I thought it was worthwhile. Amen. So this is from the Smyrnian Church Age. Brother Branham says, he says, but to go on, he says, these elect, and he's talking about you and me.
Amen.
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 These elect were not only the eternal thoughts of God, which were to be expressed in flesh in their due season, but these same elect are called by another name. Now, before I go on, that space of the universe, brother, sister, that the enormity of that creation, he had thoughts to create that.
Yes.
And he thought of it and then created it.
Right.
Yes. Amen? But part of his eternal thoughts were you and I.
Amen?
Amen. And that's what he's addressing here. Romans 4:16, he says, therefore it is of faith that it might be grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Romans 9:7-13. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son, and not only this, but when Rebekah had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so he's speaking about the election of God through Abraham, carrying down through Isaac, amen, and he's showing that God foreknew Isaac, he foreknew Jacob and he loved Jacob, but Esau he hated. Amen. One he had called and one he had not. One he had foreordained. One he had elected. It was his seed. Amen. And so the Bible is going, he's just reading these scriptures. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And so we know that God fulfilled that through Christ, who became the seed of Abraham. Amen. We've gone over that, heard that preached, of course, many times before. And then Galatians 3:29, he says, and if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So if Christ was the seed of the promise, all that are in him were part of that promise. So as we're going to continue and finish reading this, but this is important, brother, sister, because the Bible is speaking about you and I because we were in Christ. Amen? That's the important part. In Christ. Amen? So, Christ is eternal. Amen? Now, he was the one that created all things. Right? We know that God condescended from the invisible God into the Logos, the Word of God, Christ. Amen? Not in the man form, but in the theophanic spirit form, right? And through that, he spoke, created everything that was and everything that is. In him were you and I.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, if you be Christ's, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. According to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. And Paul puts himself and all believers under that designation, because he says, Abraham, who is the father of us all.
Right.
You see, so all of this thing about Abraham and Isaac and all of this lineage and this promise, really the whole point of it is to show you that you were in Christ.
Amen?
Amen? He says, then he goes on not only to narrow down this his definition, but rather to finalize it. For in Galatians 3, he identified the seed singular with Jesus and counted the seed children as children of promise. And promise as having to do with election or the choosing of God. So we are the seed children, but we are the children of the promise. And he defines the promise as the election.
Amen.
Or the choosing of God, he says. And that is exactly what we have been saying. Those who are of the royal seed are the elect of God.
Amen.
And are the predestinated, foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and his thoughts.
Amen.
In very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally.
Amen.
Though not expressed until each came forth as in the designated, decreed season. As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, she is also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him.
Amen.
Amen. Came from the same source. Was eternal with him.
Amen.
And is now manifesting God in a many-membered body, whereas God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now then, we are coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos, God was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, thereby gain the title of the Son, even so we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, became the many-membered spoken word seed, manifest in the flesh, and those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God, even as we are so called. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed, and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn because we were seed. is the reason we could be quickened. And non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. Amen. Thank you. I know that was a lot there. Amen. That's pretty meaty. Amen. Amen. But the Bible says those that he did foreknow.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Those that he knew in his thinking in the beginning, those that he did foreknow, he did predestinate.
Amen.
Amen. Is that right? And those that he did predestinate, he called. And those that he called, he justified. And those that he justified, he hath glorified.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when we begin to see the greatness of Christ, when we begin to see the greatness of God, part of his greatness is his thoughts that are you and I. Now we get into some treacherous territory. Amen. But the Bible that says that those that he has foreknown, he has glorified. You know what that means? Glorified, it means to celebrate.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. To adorn with splendor.
Amen.
Amen. Why not? They're his thoughts.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't his thoughts worth glory and splendor?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. He's great and his thoughts are great too.
Right.
Amen. To hold in high honor. That's what that means. Amen. Or to magnify. My, my, my. That's the greatness of our God. We proclaim his presence, brother, sister. We proclaim that he is here. Amen. Because we are his body. Granted, we are a part of the body. Amen. But collectively, we are his body. We are the evidence that he is who he says he is. Amen. Amen. I know he's a savior because he saved me, and I'm the evidence of it. I know he's a healer because he healed me, and I'm the evidence of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're the ones that are showing forth his greatness. Amen. I know he's a mighty provider. Amen. Because when I needed him, he came on the scene and provided for me. Hallelujah. I know he's mindful. Amen. Because somehow, some way, when I always need it, he has just the answer for me. Amen. Amen. We are proclaiming his presence, his greatness. Hallelujah. We can't see him. We can't point somebody and say, there he is, and show them him, right? But they can see his handiwork. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. This great masterpiece that he's building. Amen. He's chipping off he's making the sculpture, amen, this masterpiece where he's bringing his thoughts into manifestation.
Amen.
The glory of God. My, my, my. Amen.
Amen.
God of all creation. Now, if you look at all the creation, he's made some pretty cool stuff.
Yes.
Amen. And, you know, people spend their entire lives looking at the bottom of the ocean, or, you know, just looking at the natural creation and looking and understanding the cool stuff that God has made. Right? He's made some neat animals and creatures, and you can get in there, you know, they've created these telescopes now where they can look, I don't know how far away, right? And we've looked at pictures of different things that God has created, and it's neat, right? It's amazing, amazing creation. But through all of that, brother, sister, there's only one thing that he has declared as his masterpiece.
Amen.
In fact, when you create a masterpiece, that masterpiece is put on display. Amen. And if the masterpiece is well known enough or valuable enough, or, you know, well regarded enough, I'm talking about natural artistry and things, maybe an entire museum would be dedicated to just this one masterpiece. You know, it's kind of, I just had a really stupid thought run through my head. It's like you're driving down I-10, right? And they've got that whole building dedicated to the thing. Right? Right? They put this whole, they got all the billboards and they got the whole thing. Just, and all that's in there, man, they're all leading you up so you can go see the thing. Whatever the thing is. Well, maybe that's an anti-type. I don't know. But when there's a real masterpiece, they might build a whole museum around it, right? And it's all, everything is designed to showcase the masterpiece. That 93 billion light years of showcase. But somewhere in the midst of all that, you'll find the masterpiece. Amen. All of that beauty, all of those stars and constellations, all of that is the atmosphere for His masterpiece to come forth. Oh, hallelujah. He's so big. He's so great. Amen. As in the invisible God, He was so big and so great and so so unique, right? If I could put it that way. I mean, I can't even think of like the right words. There was no one like Him. He says, I know no God, not any, right? There is none like Him. But yet, He wanted fellowship. And He wanted fellowship at a certain level, right? It's not, He didn't just want the fellowship of angels who were just created to worship Him and worship Him and worship Him. That was good to a certain extent, but He wanted a deeper relationship. He wanted a fellowship. Amen, brother, sister. It's, you know, we love to get out and experience God's creation and nature. But you know, the truth of the matter is, when I personally go out and enjoy what God has created, it's always more enjoyable either with somebody else that you can share that with, or you're with Him, right? Or you're always with Him. But sometimes you may have another person with you can also share with, and sometimes not. But in any case, there's a fellowship, right? There's something in a Christian. You know, it's something, it's interesting. There's something even in people that are not Christians, right? That when there's a call to that wilderness and they don't understand it and they don't put it, can't put it into words, but that's what it is. It's a fellowship with God. Brother Branham talked about the Native Americans and how he was actually very complimentary towards them in the fact that they didn't know what they were worshiping. They didn't know what they were heathen, right? But yet there was something in them that longed, amen, to have fellowship with their Creator. Amen. That's because we were made for that.
Amen.
That great, amazing, enormous God wanted fellowship. Amen. And so one of the things that makes Him so great is that He can come down so small. Amen. And we can have fellowship with Him. One of the things that's amazing about God, our God, when we think about Him, is He's original. Amen. You know, they always put like on packaging on products and stuff, this is the original whatever, right? And the original is supposed to be better because it was like the first. They don't tell you that, well, yeah, now they've improved, right? The original's outdated. But in this case, the original is, it's the standard, right? You say, well, He's the original what? You know, you say, well, it's the original this. Well, He's the original what? He's the original everything. Amen. Amen. From him originated everything. If there is anything good, perfect, anything worth thinking on, anything worthwhile, it came from him. If there is anything evil or if there's death or perversion or sin, it came from him and was perverted. He's the original. Amen. Righteousness comes from him. Original righteousness. He's the original. There's counterfeits to the original. There's imitations to the original, but there's only one original. Hallelujah. That's how great our God is. He is the original original. Brother Branham tells us stories about witch doctors. Amen. I think it was in Germany. He was telling a story about how they were in tent meetings, right, in Germany. And there were witch doctors there. And they began to cast spells. It was Satan trying to interrupt the move of God. Amen. You know the story, right? They began to cast spells. I think he said they were doing something with feathers. And he said a storm began to blow up, which normally, you know, a storm, a big deal. But they were in a tent. Right? A storm began to blow up. Why? Because he's squatting on the position of the prince of the power of the air. It's a perversion. Amen?
Sure.
He's imitating the power of God that was supposed to be under the authority of the sons of God. So they have some power there, but that's really just an imitation. Right? It's not the original. The original power that spun off created the winds and the waves. And so Satan, through his workers, is imitating the power of God and trying to get people to bow to him. To bow to his strength and his power. He's trying to get the servant of God to acknowledge him. Look at me, I'm powerful too. I'm going to shut down your meeting. Oh, my. But Brother Branham said, greater is he.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And he spoke and God shut that down.
Amen.
Amen. He said the skies cleared.
Right.
Amen. The enemy was shown to have no power.
Right.
Over the power of the living God. You see, it was just a cheap imitation until the original showed up. Right? It looked pretty powerful until the original showed up. Amen. He said in meetings before, he's had people try and cast spells on him. He was talking about one time where a man was trying to cast a spell on him to make him bark like a dog. Amen. This is the power of the enemy. That is an imitation or a perversion of the power of God. And he was trying to cast a spell on him to make him bark like a dog. And the Spirit of God revealed it to him and he spoke to him. And he said, because you've done this to the Spirit of God, they're going to pack you out of here. And from the time that he preached that, from that at that time, he said, he's still paralyzed. Why? Cheap imitation.
Right.
Amen? I mean, there is a power there, but it's like comparing the you know, an old 60-watt incandescent bulb to the sun.
Right.
Right? Oh, 60-watt incandescent bulb is, you know, nice when it's dark, but compared to the sun, man, it just looks like, yeah, nice try. Right? You wouldn't even know it was on. Out in the bright sunlight. That's the way Satan's power looks compared to our God.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham said it would be better if a millstone was hanged around your neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Why? Because the great, mighty God is watching out for his thoughts. He's watching out for his children. Amen. My dad is bigger than Satan, amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother, sister, all Satan has is imitations.
Right.
every worldly pleasure, everything that he can come up with, everything that this world can try and provide to your flesh. It's just an imitation. Amen? It's an imitation for joy unspeakable. It's an imitation for peace that passes understanding. It's an imitation for the fulfillment of knowing that you're walking in the will of the Lord. It's all just an imitation. Feels good for a little while. Amen. Might provide just a little, you know, nice oomph. Wow, that's great. But then it's gone. Fleeting. Amen. There's an oil and a wine. There's a stimulation of revelation that comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. The world tries to give it to you in the form of an alcohol or a drug. But it doesn't last, and it just puts you in bondage. Just an imitation. Satan tries to imitate God's church through religion, denomination, the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the church, and he tries to imitate it.
Right.
Amen. He puts men in charge, and he lifts up the name of men.
Right.
He dwells in imitations.
Yeah.
But we dwell in the original.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. If he can get you, Satan, if he can get you to imitate being a Christian, he's happy. Right? Just look like someone who's got eternal life. Because that's all the farther he can go. He can only imitate too. Amen? He's building his Eden to try and imitate what God had done in the Garden of Eden. What God is going to do in the great millennium. Satan's trying to build that and to have that now. Just a cheap imitation. Amen. I don't want no knockoff from hell. Amen. Knockoff the original. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me, people, when there's somebody who's great at something, right? And everybody acknowledges, man, that is a great whatever, musician, artist, writer, I don't know, whatever, somebody that's great at something in their field, and they just rise above everybody else. They call them generational talents or whatever. You'll find out that every time that somebody like that comes on the scene, they are original. There's something about them. They're not like anybody else that ever came. They're not trying to imitate somebody that came before them. They're just an original. Amen. You think of men like, even Brother Branham mentioned Einstein, right? There was nobody. He was original.
Right?
There was nobody like him. And then come along after that, all the people trying to imitate them.
Right.
Because they see, oh man, this guy did this great thing, and if I just do X, Y, Z, I can be like him. No, because you're not him.
Amen.
And brother, sister, we can't do that in the church of God. Is that right? We fall into that. Amen? Trying to imitate one another.
Oh my God. Right.
Now, the Bible says, and Paul says, that you're supposed to follow him or to follow his example, right? And so you could say you would imitate in that way, in following an example, right? But that's not like you're trying to be St. Paul, right? We can't be Brother Branham. We can't be someone that we're not. Why? Because we are original thoughts. Amen. And if you aren't comfortable being what the original thought was, then you're just trying to be an imitation. Think about it. Now, this is where we wrap this up this morning. He is the original. We've already established his greatness. If I'm one of his thoughts, you're one of his thoughts. That thought is original. It's part of that greatness. It's part of his glory. It's not all of it, but it's, you know, a little part of it. And no other part can take that place of that thought. then why wouldn't I want to walk in that?
Right.
Amen. Instead, we look, oh, well, you know, brother so-and-so, man, they're better at this, and they're better looking, and they can do this, and oh, I wish I could. You ever find yourself going down that? Why did God make me this way? Why did God make me on and on and on?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know why God made you that way. Okay? I don't know why God made me the way he made me. But I know he did.
Yes.
And I know that he was had that thought before the beginning.
Right.
And I know that there's nothing wrong with his thoughts. I know that his thoughts are original. And if I try and inject worldly imitation, then I don't allow his thought to be manifest. We are part of his greatness and majesty. Let's finish up with this scripture here in Ephesians chapter 1. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He's the Father and he's glorious. Amen. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now I want to soak in these verses here this morning, if you'll permit me. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He's expressed in glory.
Right.
Amen. But he wants to give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of that glory and that greatness. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now remember, we read in Jeremiah 33:3, I think it was, right? Where we can't even comprehend the mighty and the glory, right? But now he's saying, I'm going to, the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened.
Right.
That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then when many people think of greatness, they think of riches. They think of possessions. They think of magnitude of control, if I could put it that way, right? A great king, the bigger the king's kingdom, the greater the king, right? But our God is rich.
Right.
Like he's the original.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceed? I mean, Paul's just like throwing out the words here. Like you can almost feel him like every word. The exceeding greatness. I mean, how can we express it in earthly terms?
Right.
Exceeding beyond anything that you've ever experienced or anything that ever is. Exceeds it, that greatness.
Amen.
Of his power toward us.
Right.
Those who believe according to the working of his mighty power. That power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places.
Amen.
My.
Right.
Greatness. Far. Not just slightly. Not just, just squeaked in ahead. 1/10 of a second crossed the finish line before number two. No. Far above. Far above all, not just most, all, any, anything else, nothing. There is nothing that is not, he's not far above.
Right.
Far above all, principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. We started out this morning talking about the greatness of the name. Every name in this earth that tries to lift itself, make itself more important than the name of Jesus Christ, he is far above.
Yes.
principality, power, might, dominion. I don't care what it is. I don't care what power it claims to have. He's far above it. Not only in this world, but the world to come. Every dimension. So when we talk about the observable universe, 93 billion light years across, we're not even talking about the other dimensions. This world, the world to come, every dimension from top to bottom. He's far above it all. And hath put all things under his feet. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church, amen, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. Now, we've said this before, and our preachers have mentioned this many times. Okay, but now, thinking the way that you're thinking about God, who is greater than 93 billion light years of universe and every, all seven dimensions, whatever, all things, right? We are his body.
Amen.
And all of those things are under his feet. Amen. So if we're the bottom of the feet, we're still far above. Far above every principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, and everything that is in this world or the world to come.
Amen.
Amen. That the exceeding greatness of our God would be put on display through his body.
Amen.
And brother, sister, the way that that happens is by us surrendering.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. It's us dying out to ourselves, surrendering to him, allowing him to have the preeminence, to him to take control. And that's how the glory of all the universe is put on display.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So simple, so humble. Amen. Lord willing, we'll get into that a little bit more tonight. So I ask you again what I asked earlier. How do you measure greatness? Right? How do you regard it? We have to stop sometimes and think about how great our God is. Amen. Sometimes the symptoms of our situation become so loud. Amen. And they're in your face.
Yep.
Amen. And they're trying to shout down the word of God. And in those times we have to just stop.
Yep.
And meditate on how great,
yes,
God is.
Yes.
How big he is.
Yes.
How mighty he is.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
How puny and weak are the kingdoms of this world.
Yeah.
Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Brother, sister, it's only by us lifting him up. Amen. Praise, worship. When we exalt him as king, we begin to lift him up. As the song says, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. Amen. And so he has to be great in our sight. If he's not great in our sight, he's not going to be great in the world's sight. Amen. The most effective witness here on the earth for Jesus Christ is those that just want to brag about him. Just speak about him, how great he is, how wonderful he is. He's been lifted up so high in their sight that they can't just help but talk about the goodness of God. Amen. We begin to lift him up. We begin to praise. We begin to worship him. through the midst of our struggles and our trials, in the midst of those dark times, those times when the powers of darkness would try and overshadow our testimony, would try and drag us down. But we begin to praise and we begin to worship and we begin to acknowledge, God, you are mighty. You're bigger than this. This thing that I'm going through right now, Lord, it seems big, but Lord, you're bigger than all of it, oh God. Lord, and I know I'm part of you. Amen. But God, your greatness stretches from star to star through every dimension, Lord, but you're mindful of my situation. Brothers and sisters, when we begin to lift him up in that way, he begins to be magnified in our sight. We begin to worship, we begin to praise him. Amen. And then what happens is we begin to be lifted up into that sphere. Amen. We begin to move up in faith. We begin to be lifted into heavenly places. Amen. And our faith begins to soar. Why? Because we see the greatness of God. And what happens is we begin to step into it. Amen. And then those things just become, they become so small. It's not that they go away. They don't, it's not that they don't exist anymore, but we just leave it all behind. Remember Brother Branham likened it to that eagle who could just set his wings and begin to soar above the old chatter of the, amen, of the earthbound creatures. What happens is the counterfeits just begin to look so cheap. Amen. Amen. If you've ever seen an original, you know, piece, something like a masterpiece, a watch or something that's, it's the original and it's quality, and then you see a cheap imitation, amen, you don't want that imitation. Amen. You want that original. Amen. The things of earth grow strangely dim in the glory of his wonderful grace. Amen. Brother, sister, there's victory in that this morning. There's victory in lifting him up. There's victory in acknowledging his greatness. There's victory in acknowledging the great God is here this morning. And he's working in his people. If God be for us, who can be against us? So let him be great in your sight this morning. Let him be great in your worship. Let him be great in your prayer. Amen. In your decisions, let him be great. Let him be God of the universe. Let him be great in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, you are mighty this morning, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge you, Lord, King of the universe, oh God. Oh God, the originator of all things, Lord, the original God, our Father, our origin, Lord, we came from you, oh God. There's something in our hearts this morning that cries out, oh God, as we know we came from you, Lord. But yet, Lord, we're here on earth, Lord, this morning we're facing trials and testings, oh God. We know, Lord, that it's for a purpose, Lord, that your greatness would be manifest in us. Oh God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be magnified in our sight. Lord, that we would begin to set aside our earthly thinking, Lord, long enough, Lord, to know that you are King on our the throne of our hearts this morning. Oh God, we just lift you up, Lord. We magnify you. We say, God, you are God and there is no other. There is no one like you. There's no one even close, Lord. And we love you this morning. We're your children, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us. Hallelujah. Lord, receive our worship this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Hallelujah. Let's sing that. How great is our God this morning? How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? This morning, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. Hallelujah, let's lift him up this morning. The splendor of the King. This morning, darkness tries to hide and trembles at him. The demons are trembling this morning. Hallelujah. How great is our this morning. He's clothed in majesty.